Hello, good morning, everyone. So nice to be with you today. I love this piece right in front of me here. It's just so gorgeous. Every year I love to see this and the Christmas wreath that we have up and the decorations. The only thing that I really miss is everyone being together. So just know that you're missed and that we're connecting through the heart the best way that we can this morning. So let's bring this idea of peace into our meditation. And begin, if you would, with me, as we did with the prayer, with a nice deep breath. Fill your lungs, feel that life come into you, and then release it as gratitude, so that each breath becomes bringing in new life and releasing gratitude. And this is such a simple way to lay a hold of eternal life within us. And doesn't that bring peace to know that the eternal spirit of all life is in us now, animating us and giving us the precious life. And so as we continue allowing the breath without encumbrance, without worry, without fear, it sounds so strange to say, but just simply letting the breath flow. What a metaphor for our very lives. And so with that idea, there's nothing that we have to do to go get peace, that peace is our natural order. And so now each breath becomes breathing in divine peace. And then comes visible through the inner eye, the light of God. So our meditation this morning then is peace, light, love, and joy fill me now. And then now through this peaceful place, feel the presence of your being. Feel your body vibrating. And then move your fingers or toes. and begin to feel yourself as a fully spiritual human being, endowed with this perfect peace, this love of God. And then when you're ready, you can gently open up your eyes, and we'll have a nice song for you. Again, and thank you for that beautiful song. So nice. Yes, Christmas is upon us, and thinking about all these things today, I always love the energy that comes in this room, and we talk about it probably every Sunday, that every Sunday is new, and so during the week I can think about how it might be, but I'm never truly prepared for it because it's always new and fresh, you know, and it's so nice to hear the music and be with the people. And And even, you know, like we say, you are a huge part of that consciousness, because even though you're not here, we are connected eternally through the heart. And so we open up to that connection this morning as we consider a few points. This talk today, it's kind of strange how it came, just kind of like, you ever have anything just drop right in, and it's like, oh, that's what we're doing. And that's what happened. And so the ideas today are based entirely on the notion that our world is perpetuated entirely by the agreements that we make with ourselves. And that can be a real bummer, because it sometimes sure does seem like our life's perpetuated by outside forces. But so what does that all mean? And so the thing that dropped in was Don Miguel Ruiz. And a lot of you might remember a book, I don't know when it came out a while back, called The Four Agreements. And The Four Agreements is based on this very idea. And it's based on what's called Toltec wisdom, T-O-L-T-E-C. And the Toltecs were people that lived before the Aztecs. And you know, like we always talk about, every great culture has had its great spirituality, had its mystics and its teachers who taught the same exact stuff that the Fillmores teach and that every other spiritual tradition ultimately comes to. And that's, how do we know God more? Like we talked about last week, our unity of purpose. Well, what is that? And so the agreements that we make with ourselves sort of make or break our ability to listen to the divine. And what a bummer that can be, but how freeing it can be. And so when you first come upon the paths like that, which some of you may be first coming to a spiritual path in your life, it's so exciting. And then as we continue on in our lives, in our spiritual path, we fall into patterns. And so I can look back and see when that book came into my life some 10 or 15 years ago, and then back into my life today, I can see where it's been such a blessing and also where I've fallen short of the agreements that I made with myself. Wow. So that's some really cool stuff that I like to consider about, it doesn't matter how far advanced we are or not. I was talking with my friend this morning, Bill, and we were talking about that very thing that he said to me, I just got done with my prayer and meditation time so that I can dictate the course of my life rather than having outside influences do it. And I said, well, you just talked about what I'm going to talk about today. It's really funny how that works. But we talked about always going back to the basics because that's really what it is. And so these basic ideas from Don Miguel Ruiz and this Toltec wisdom, I bring that, one of the reasons that I want to share this with you is because The Four Agreements is a book, but it's really a spiritual practice, and it's very much in alignment with unity. And so you can Google that or search for it on the internet, and there's all kinds of information on it. And that's what I did when I was putting this talk together, and I came across a gal, her name's Susan Gregg, and she said about Toltec wisdom that it's based on the key concept that we don't really see life at all. What? We don't see life at all. What does she mean? She says what we actually see is our filter system, which is composed of our beliefs, expectations, agreements, and assumptions. So that's Toltec wisdom in a nutshell, that we don't see what's actually happening. We see what we have agreed to see within ourselves. So the first agreement, and I'm just going to go through each of the agreements, and it's kind of interesting how they, like our five principles, they weave in and out with each other. And these agreements are very basic, but they're very difficult. So what's the first agreement? Be impeccable with your word. So what does that mean? Always be on time? Do what you say you're going to do? That's part of it. One of these people was reviewing this book, and I got to read her sort of way that she was reviewing it. She said some kind of harsh things about it. She said, being impeccable with your word is avoiding gossip, lies, and empty promises. So none of us do that, right? I don't gossip about anybody. Well, really, I do. Don't we all? At some point, have you ever said anything about somebody else and immediately wish that you hadn't done that? And why is that? Because something happens inside of you where you know that that was sacred information that should be kept only to yourself. So gossip is kind of an old school word. Today we call it things like talking smack, And this is not just with people that we know in our immediate world, like what, Aunt Sarah, Uncle George is doing. This is about the world itself when we badmouth people, politicians, no. Anybody. We're talking smack, we're gossiping, and it does something inside of us. Because really, if we're one consciousness, and that's Christ consciousness, and we're talking poorly about another human being, does that not then diminish ourselves? So being impeccable with your word is moving towards the higher feeling thought, you know, inside yourself when you say, I could say something right now to, you know, be important or whatever it is that we do that, or I could be quiet. And that's a huge key concept of being impeccable with your word. Is it necessary to say? Does it contribute to lifting the world up? And then what's this thing about lies? You know, that's a harsh one because sometimes we lie to ourselves and don't even know we're doing it. It's the mark of any person who is truly committed to living in a way that is not harmonious with divine law, is we have to lie to ourselves, fully buy it, and then pretend like that's true as we live. So we begin to speak truth. It's what the prayers are about. When we have a prayer, when we have meditation, what we're doing is we're speaking truth to ourselves so that we can hear it. And allowing that light of God to come in, there's no room for anything that's not whole and complete. And you know what they say about a half-truth is a whole lie. And that is a bummer because it busts me every time. So can I be impeccable with my word? Can I be in integrity with it? And you know, that just begins to point to our divine teachings around unity of how do I lay hold of the divine power to bring into my life what I really want. The power center of the 12 powers is our throat, how we speak the word into being. And so if every word was creative, what would you say? And if you could hear yourself speak day to day how you're actually speaking about life, would that be being impeccable with your word? So you see just how basic that little notion of the first agreement is, how complex it actually is, and how in its simplicity, how difficult it is to adopt as a way of life. So then the second agreement, and this is one that is a very powerful agreement, and it's one that gets us all into a lot of trouble when we don't do it. And what Don Miguel Ruiz, the guy that wrote this book, calls it, is don't take anything personally. Now, I extrapolated that for myself and would share this agreement with people throughout the years, and I would say don't take things personally because it allows me a little wiggle room. Because anything? Well, some things are personal. But there's this thing that happens is we make it personal depending upon our own wounds and what we're doing to try to protect ourselves. So when we start taking some things personally but not other things, unless we've laid a hold of divine wisdom that reveals truth, we can get very confused. So when you think about this in the context of not taking things personally, when other people are talking with you and you're constantly saying, are you talking about me? Is what you said you're talking about me? That's exactly what it is, because another person has their whole own way that they see the world, their whole own set of ideas and conceptions from which they're speaking. And when we think that's about us, then we start to base our responses and how we interact based on what we think they want us to do. We call it people-pleasing. And a lot of us really do that. So what would it be like to be in conversation with someone else and as they're speaking to realize that's their whole own world and it doesn't have anything at all to do with me? We stop worrying about how we look in the eyes of other people and we're able to be truly present with another human being. And this other really cool thing happens. We get to get behind what somebody's saying. Have you ever heard the term, who you're being is so loud I can't hear a word that you say? That every human being, verbal communication, even body language, is a very small amount of what communication actually is. The heart center actually is the greater communicator. So who we're being speaks much louder. And so when we're with people thinking from, how is this about me? We lose the heart connection. And so it's possible to be with people and get behind the personalness to the impersonalness. which is God as principle, and hear from a greater place, if that makes sense. One person there that I was reading on the internet quoted another author here with regard to don't take anything personally. And it's another very famous book by a guy named Scott Peck called The Road Less Traveled. Now, even the name of that book, The Road Less Traveled, we all know what that means. It's the when we begin to not talk poorly of other people to lift ourselves up, when we begin to not take things personally, we begin to get on a road where there's less travel. And what Scott Peck says in this book is the problem of distinguishing what we are and what we are not responsible for in this life is one of the greatest problems of human existence. Don't take things personally. How many times have we felt a great fear within us and later realized that wasn't mine? That was somebody else's. And now in our world, especially today, we have what's called race consciousness. And Charles Fillmore warned us about this, that there is a consciousness, often perpetuated by fear, which runs the great majority of our race. And when we align with that, we align with fear. What did Wayne Dyer say? Don't follow the herd because you'll always step in poo. And what that means is not to listen to our world, but it means to lay hold of the deeper wisdom within yourself. Don't take things personally allows us to hear from a greater place. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. So if I could be impeccable with my word, not take things personally, then what else should I do, Don Miguel Ruiz? And he says, don't make assumptions. Number three, don't make assumptions. Well, we all know what assumptions means. Cindy says, yes, and you don't need to say it. You know, this is all leading up to a story I want to tell you about my own self where I realized, revisiting this, these agreements, where I just fell on my face with this, assuming things about what other people thought about me or what I was supposed to do, and then living my life doing that to try to please them, where that's not what they even ever wanted from me in the first place. I completely assumed it all, pretended like it was real, and lived as if that was the truth, and God, it was uncomfortable. None of it even happened. I had a guy, a friend of mine in the 12-step world, he said, I've been through a lot of crap in these meetings, you know, and he said, none of it ever happened. You really think about that. He'd been through a lot of stuff, a lot of uncomfortable feelings, and it all got made up in his mind through his making up assumptions about what was actually happening, and none of it ever happened. And he realized that years later. So it's this thing about not beating up on yourself that we're going to get to here in a minute. But when we look at this, don't make assumptions. Everybody's right for them. Everybody's right for them. And so as these agreements that we make, if we are willing to do this and we start listening from this deeper place, you start to see that a person, a human being that you're in communication with or others or groups have a whole way, a whole set of their own things that they're doing. And that's theirs. And for them, that's right. It may or may not be for you. But when you make assumptions that you're supposed to be a certain way to fit into their group or to please them, then it takes us away from this ability to commune with the divine and get a deeper guidance, that deeper wisdom that we're always talking about. I was thinking when we were having our beautiful prayer this morning about this light of God, we're always, a lot of these things, I talk in a lot of Sunday mornings from the supremacy of spirit, and that's a Charles Fillmore thing that he always talked about, the supremacy of spirit over the unreality of matter. But sometimes if we're too identified with matter, we don't see the light of God. We don't see the greater vision, and we don't hear the voice for spirit. What does the Course in Miracles say? The voice of the Holy Spirit is as loud as my willingness to listen. And when I'm making assumptions and taking things personally and not being impeccable with my word, I'm trying to manage that. And that's where my focus lies. So everybody has their whole own thing that they're doing. And when we allow them to do that freely without our judgment and condemnation, we get set free to do what we're doing. I just wrote this little note here. Don't make assumptions. To each their own, and each has their own. And then number four, and we just talked about this a little bit, always do your best. But what does that mean? And some days, you know, I think about this with my prayer and meditation life, because I want to be more devoted in prayer and meditation every day. And it, no matter if I do it for an hour or 2 hours or a minute or 2 minutes, I'm always thinking, oh, I could be better at that. Well, can I? Didn't I just do the best that I could? So that's the part about beating ourselves up when we're always doing our best. Some days we are full of energy. Cindy talked about it this morning. Some days we are lit up and other days we are bummed out. And there's this thing that happens, you know, in our lives, and we all know it. So when we're always doing our best, sometimes the best that we can do is when we've got a pile of responsibilities, sometimes it's to meet them. Other times it's to take a nap. If you're not going to be able to meet your responsibilities and take care of yourself, then it's better to take care of yourself and be impeccable with your word and say, you know what, I can't do this today. I need to change this plan that we made. But that is impeccableness. So always doing your best, to me, really equates to, yes, doing our best, but also practicing self-care at a deep level, really taking care of yourself. You know, and you can see how all these agreements start to play into each other. Because if I'm not judging and not doing all these things that the other agreements talk about, when it comes to self-care, I'm much more able to say, that's not mine. I'm not going to take it on. Because when we take on other people's stuff, whether it's individual, group, or even world, there's a heaviness there. And it is so profound that we cannot take care of ourselves because we're trying to manage the world. So that's the four agreements, but there's a fifth. And this is a strange one. And this came through, I think, Don Miguel Ruiz. He put out his book. It was very, very famous right away. And because it worked, because it was these spiritual principles. And so he came out with this fifth agreement that I know less about, but it's very intriguing to me. Be skeptical. What, really? Be skeptical? But learn to listen. And I was so intrigued about this that I wanted to know more. And so I went to his website, and it's Don Miguel Ruiz works with his son, Don Jose Ruiz, and another gal, and her name is Janet Mills. And you can go and find this on their website. And I picked out this little quote from their talking about the fifth agreement because it was so profound to me. When I read some of these people that were talking about the four agreements, some of them were critiquing it and saying, you know, kind of almost negative things about it. Overall positive, but, you know, it could be better here, it could be better there. And when I read what Don Miguel Ruiz writes himself, just as I did when I read the four agreements, there is a wisdom that this man has that cuts through all of that stuff. And it goes straight into my heart and speaks to me in a way where I know that this teaching is divinely guided. And I love that it happens in that way. And so he talks about us as creative beings, as artists, because we're forging our life like a great piece of art. And sometimes, you know, if you ever do art, sometimes you love what you arted, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it looks great, and sometimes it's not so great. Yeah. It's so interesting. If you think about life is an artwork. We can forge our bodies into entirely different shapes and sizes. We can make beautiful things. You know, you think about Michelangelo saying, oh, David, oh, he was in there. I just had to get him out. People know. And how do they get that detail, chipping stone away or any of that stuff? I mean, how does it work? So we truly are artists, and our greatest canvas is our consciousness. And our greatest paintbrush, if you will, is our imagination, which is really the heart of this whole teaching, I think, of we see the filters, not the reality. So anyway, back to this quote. To have faith is to believe without a doubt, and to doubt is to be skeptical. Don't believe all the stories that we artists create with our knowledge. You know that most of our knowledge isn't true. What? So don't believe me, don't believe yourself, and don't believe anybody else. Well, then where does that leave me? The truth doesn't need you to believe it. The truth simply is, and it survives whether you believe it or not. Wow. The truth is truth. It doesn't matter what you believe. Lies need you to believe them. If you don't believe lies, they don't survive your skepticism, and they simply disappear. I love that. To me, this whole being skeptical but learning to listen is about questioning everything, but from a place of, tell me more. Because when we listen and we take into account these other agreements that we make, we stop taking it personally. We've already made the agreement with ourselves that we're living. We're not making assumptions about somebody else. We're doing the best we can. And then we listen from a place of true inquisitiveness. That's when the spirit reveals itself. How many times someone has come to me and said, I have a problem. And I say, let's talk about it. So they will talk about it. And I will hear them tell the solution to their own problem. And then when they're done talking, I say what they said, and they say, you're brilliant. I said, you said that. And they said, what? Yeah, you told me that. And they don't even know it. You possess the solution to your own problems. And when we listen from that place of impersonal presence, we begin to hear the voice for God. Really good stuff. So this brings me to my little story that I want to share. You guys know that a lot of you might know that I'm in school with Unity and working towards an ordination as a Unity minister. And that's been a heck of a journey. Whatever it is that I thought I set out to learn in school wasn't what I set out to learn. And the things that I'm learning, I never intended to, nor did I necessarily welcome, because it's uncomfortable. And so part of those, we have interviews every a couple times a year. And these interviews are pretty intense. They bring people from Unity ministers who volunteer their time. And before this pandemic, you know, it would happen at Unity Village, and we would fly there, and all these ministers would come from different congregations throughout mostly the United States, and then they interview you. And so you had two or three ministers that were interviewing your progress. And I looked at that as me against them, even if I didn't know it. You know, and I thought that they wanted me to be somebody who I was trying to be, but I wasn't yet, so I pretended like I was, and that was what I was trying to spin. Not even knowing that I was doing it. I was lying to myself, trying to be somebody who I wasn't, but based on what I thought they wanted, which they didn't even want. And so I'm doing this whole song and dance, not even aware of it, until finally I said, I've had enough of this. I'm just going to tell them the dang truth. And so I did, and they said, now you're getting somewhere. Because what they want you to do is not to pretend, but to deal with your stuff, for real. So I told them, well, I'm dealing with my stuff, and it's uncomfortable. And that's when they said, now we're getting somewhere. Because what they were trying to do was help me to be authentic. And I was not honoring the four agreements at all within myself, but I didn't know it. Until I came to the point where it was unbearable to live in that reality that I had created. And it was absolutely this whole Toltec wisdom and the four agreements. You know, Paramahansa Yogananda, I was just reading something, and he said, if we were all gonna go hike up, I think it was Pikes Peak in Colorado, he said we'd come from all different places of the world. And as we got closer to the mountain, we'd have to take pretty much the same path to get to the top. And that's how the spiritual life is. That's why people of all religions are really working towards one common goal, But when we're way out on the outskirts, getting ready to start coming in towards the center, it seems very, very different. And so these agreements, what they do is they allow us to choose an impersonal way to the mountaintop. We begin working as the conduit for the eternal spirit to work through, rather than us managing the tale that we've spun, the art that we've created that's not real in the first place, but we pretend like it is. We simply allow this spirit to flow through, and that's when we begin to lay hold of the light of God. And that's when we'll be able to begin to hear the spirit guiding us, to hear the solution in the muck. Our actions become in alignment with our words, and forgiveness and acceptance become a new lens through which we see. Isn't that nice? We begin to let go, and the tension, you can feel it when you say it, just let's go. I don't have to manage that? No, I was never any good at it anyway. Who would want that job? So here we begin to hear our own soul, the self that we've come here to be, really begin to guide us, and we set the world free. There's so much more I want to share today, but I just want to end by just wrapping it up with the five agreements. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take things personally. Don't make assumptions. Always do your best. And be skeptical, but learn to listen. So it is. Amen.